Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk. It's time to go through some of the Issues Etc. comment line, respond to a few of your comments here on this Monday afternoon, May the 18th. This is a comment line that we leave open for our beloved on-demand listeners, actually all of our listeners, but we know that you listen different places, different times. Those on-demand listeners can sometimes be 3 weeks, a month, maybe even more behind. We understand that. We like people to listen wherever, whenever, however they can. But you also can join the conversation even if you're not listening live by just leaving your comment, questions, show suggestion, criticism, whatever it is, at the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382, leading off a comment about what the marriage debate is really all about.
The attack on one man, one woman marriage is more than an attack on one man, one woman marriage. It's an attack on Christ and his church. Ephesians 5:31-32 tells us marriage refers to Christ and his church. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. If there was ever a deed that is also a creed, it's marriage. Marriage is a visible deed and creed to the world of Christ and his church. The advocates of same-sex marriage are doing more than dismantling what we'd label as traditional marriage. They are attempting to dismantle the very image of the gospel represented in marriage.
Excellent comment. I think that's a good thing to bear in mind. Now, we need to bear in mind also that the advocates of same-sex marriage are not aware. I would say probably very few would even have any idea what you were talking about, but they're not aware that this is what they are doing. Their goals are marriage equality. Their goals are tolerance. Their goals are to have homosexuality affirmed, all of those kinds of things. Those are their goals. They've stated them quite clearly. If you said, no, what you're really doing here is making an attack upon one of the primary pictures that parables, if you will, that God has put in the world for the gospel, for Christ and his self-sacrificing love for his bride, the church, they would probably look at you cross-eyed. We do not intend to do that, they would say. But you're quite right, unintentionally, unwittingly, they are. Now, who does know what he's doing when it comes to this attack on marriage as an image of Christ and the church? The devil does. The devil knows exactly what he's doing. In fact, this is the devil just wants to cause trouble. But he doesn't really care about marriage per se. Now, does he want to break them up? Sure he does. Does he want marriages to be bitter? Sure he does. Because he does not wish any of us well, any human beings well. But he doesn't mind if marriage were defined as one man and one woman, if he could have his goals in by another means. But he does understand, he's read the Bible. He does understand that marriage is an image of Christ and the church. The primary truth, as St. Paul says, and you so rightly point out, the primary truth being confessed in marriage is of Christ and the church, even if we don't know it or believe it. And that is where his real hostility is aimed, at this picture. He cannot abide anything that might possibly give an open door to the gospel. While his goal is to bring general misery to human beings, that's kind of, he likes to see that as collateral damage to what he really wants in his enterprise. His real goal is to silence the gospel. His real goal is to rob the church and the world of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. That is his real goal. Now, if redefining marriage helps do that, if it brings confusion to a picture that was once clear, where we could point to marriage and say, as Paul does, this is a profound mystery, but I'm really talking about Christ and the church, he will do that, and that's exactly what he's doing. You are quite right. Thank you very much for the comment.
Pastor Todd, this is in regard to your recent show with Dr. Jean Edward Veith on modern fascism. Specifically, this is in regard to Blutkit or blood cement. Blutkit or blood cement is a term that refers to the practice where an initiate is to perform an evil act that violates morality. It serves to weaken the initiate's will to perform further evil acts, and it serves to bond the initiate to the group, which affirms the initiate and tells them that evil is good. In order to become a made man, the mafia requires an initiate to commit an act of murder. City gangs, to initiate members, require them to commit an act of murder. As quickly as possible, Nazi doctors were required to participate in sorting Jewish people who had arrived at the concentration camps. This is why the left is so determined to force Christians and the Christian church to participate in homosexual weddings and abortions. Their participation is used to weaken the participants and to bond them to the groups, which will now affirm them and assure them that evil is good. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Yes, I think you're on the right track here. Why is it that Christians find themselves afoul of the mores and the conventional wisdom of the day, of the morality of the day? Has Christian morality changed? No, it's kind of remained exactly in the same place. The morality of the world has shifted around it. Now, coming back to the devil, what does he want to do? He wants, if he cannot have servants, willing servants, he wants at least unknowing allies, and he has many. So, again, we have to be cautious and say that those who advocate for same-sex marriage do not consider themselves to be allies of Satan in this enterprise, to say, look, they want people to participate or to contribute in some way to same-sex marriage simply because they want to see same-sex marriage affirmed. They sincerely believe that this is discrimination and they want to see it affirmed. That is their motivation. But they are unwitting allies with someone else who wants to see the church compromised. Now, someone might say, well, the church might even be able to compromise on same-sex marriage and still retain the gospel. Well, yes, there is that happy inconsistency that certainly could exist, but in practice, does it happen? Look at the churches that have compromised on the two issues that you mentioned, on abortion and on homosexuality, that have taken what is clearly the Word of God and said, no, we're not going to go with that. We'll go with what the world is telling us and demanding of us. Has the gospel survived? It hasn't. It doesn't. Why? Because once the devil is successful in getting the church to compromise, that's a very mild word for what you were talking about in your comment. Once he's successful in having the church compromised that way, it's only a matter of time before the church compromises it all. And many, many, look at the path of mainline Protestantism. They have all said, we can compromise here and we'll still keep what's important, the gospel. We can compromise this, that, and the other thing. It has failed utterly, hasn't it? They have inevitably compromised the gospel. In fact, in truth, they compromised it the first time they chose to listen to what the world said rather than what the Word says.
This is Paul in Milwaukee with questions on the May 11th program on the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, many years ago, paid for all sins of all time. Was the point of the program that in confession and absolution before the pastor, having confessed my sins, I need to be reminded of that payment and that I then go forth in confidence that Christ's work on the cross blots out my transgressions? In the church service or in private, the pastor tells me upon my real-time current confession in the present tense that by God's authority he forgives my sins. A little later, the pastor may tell me, take, eat. This is my body, made so now for the forgiveness of sins. In Matthew 18, I and my sinning brother act in current time. Are the recollection and the act of doing done at the same time, both real and compatible? Someone said to me on this point, God has his time, you have yours. Thanks for listening.
Well, I guess if your question is that for the pastor to speak in the present tense, I forgive you all your sins, is that somehow compatible with the recollection of the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ on the cross, wherein the whole world is absolved? No, they are not incompatible. One is built upon the other. It is solely upon the finished work of Christ. And then, by his command, this is important, had Christ not commanded us to forgive sins in his name, then the church would have no business doing it. If Christ had said, point people back to the cross, to the it is finished, and just tell them that they were forgiven at the cross and remind them of that, well, then that would be the only thing the church would have any business doing. But here's the point. Christ has commanded his church to proclaim that forgiveness in, as you say, I like that, in real time, in the same real time in which our sins actually occur, to proclaim that forgiveness of sins purchased at the cross, purchased, won, secured at the cross in real time. He has not only authorized the church to do it, he has commanded the church to do it. He says, whosoever sins you forgive, speaking to particular men there on Easter Eve. And he's not talking about in the next 5 minutes, he's talking to the whole church until he returns again, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins be proclaimed in his name, beginning in Jerusalem, until he comes back again. So the church is not only commanded, but also authorized to do this. And if Christ has both authorized and commanded us to do something, then we do it. We don't try to work out the math of when the forgiveness occurred or occurs. When we hear those words, do you believe that this forgiveness I speak to you is the very forgiveness of Christ? The answer is yes. It is the very forgiveness of Christ. Look, we forget that God forgives, but God does not forget. And God will not leave us ignorant of what he remembers, which is the sacrifice of his son. And he keeps giving forgiveness. This is the thing. We're stingy with forgiveness. We want to think of it as the kind of forgiveness you get just for that thing you did, right? That's how we forgive. We forgive atomistically, that is, A-T-O-M, atomistically. One sin, one little bit of forgiveness, just sufficient and no more for that sin. That's how humans forgive. That's not how God forgives. His mercy is more abundant than sin. And believe me, our sin is abundant. His mercy is greater than our sin. It is boundless. And it's not just boundless in that he forgave us in Christ when Christ made the sacrifice at the cross. It is boundless in that he continues to speak it, to give it, to actually do it day by day, every day. Our faith depends on it. Our very life depends on it. We as Christians live on and from the forgiveness of sins, and God wants us to live, so he does not. It would be as ridiculous as a parent withholding food from a child saying, I fed you once, that should be enough. No, we live on it and from it. And so God continues to provide it. When we're praying, give us this day our daily bread. We are praying not only for the things that God gives us every day. Don't we expect that from God? Every day, food on the plate? Well, if food is given every day, how much more forgiveness? We'll be right back.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at BLC.com. lutheracademy.edu.
The faith, once for all, delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois, is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.